This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning, folks. Hope you're having a great Thursday morning. We've got a wonderful show lined up for you today. We'll visit with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll talk about the Louisiana State Police arrest and the prosecutions that are being handled by the Attorney General for the state of Louisiana. We'll talk about what those reveals since they started working in June. NOPD has just released the Public Integrity Bureau investigative reports involving VAPI, dining and drinking at Tableau and Doris Metropolitan. Both reports were as a result of complaints filed by the MCC with the Public Integrity Bureau. Plus, we will also talk about an update on NOPD promotions and what NOPD Chief Kirk Patrick has set out to do relative to an independent review. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll talk about a couple of things, and we'll go to the talk line, so we want to hear from you. So get prepared. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. A lot of folks have been asking for some time to call in to talk about anything that you want. These are your opportunities. We answered the call, so let us know what you are thinking. At 10:30, good friend Melvin Dussel over at Don Buster's Kiwanis. Well, they're at it again with the world's largest turkey fry. It will take place on Wednesday, 11/27, November 27. That is the day before Thanksgiving. But if you want your turkeys, you better get online like today. And all of the proceeds go to a great cause. We'll talk about that and any other products that they're offering as well with Melvin Dussel. We start out this morning's show with our Port of New Orleans segment. The Port of New Orleans, you know, folks, is such an important integral part of our economy here throughout the metropolitan region. And as we started to talk about issues with the port, I went out and visited the port. It occurred to me that not a lot of people talk about the port. And we really do. We really need to be more educated as the citizens of this great city, understanding the great work that's going on out there, understanding and gaining a better understanding, I should say, as to the importance and the role that the port plays in our local economy. And I think it helps people connect dots when they're reading about international stories about supply chain and how this works and, you know, what the delays may or may not be in certain ports around the country, why we are strategically located, why are we successful as we are. And so this has been, I think, it's been very productive to have these conversations that we've had here most recently. And Amanda Coates joins us. She is the Chief Commercial Officer for Port NOLA. And we're also joined by Christy App, J.W. Allen & Company. She is a board member with the port, I guess. Trying to figure out what the letters mean. I'm sorry.
It's International Freight Forwarders and Customs Brokers of New Orleans, Newell. Thanks.
There it is. I heard of it a couple of times, but I'm like thinking, wait a minute, what words fit where here? This is going to be a tough one for me this early. In the morning, and it was. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Absolutely. Amanda, a lot going on. There's the International Freight Forwarders and Customs Brokers of New Orleans with that Christy is part of. And obviously there's a relationship between Port NOLA and this organization. Why is this relationship so important?
We work really closely with IFCA Bono, the entire team, for many, many years. So the relationship is longstanding, and, you know, we host events together. We work very closely as global logistics professionals in the New Orleans market and then in the greater global picture. We discuss challenges and opportunities and have networking events really to showcase New Orleans, our area, inland logistics, supply chain efficiencies, and really kind of tell everybody what's what goes on behind the wall, as you mentioned, connecting the dots between how goods get to, you know, tables and under the Christmas trees as we head into the holiday season. So it's a really important relationship where we promote, you know, the advantages of shipping through New Orleans.
And as you just described, that is something that's actually going on this week, right, in the 2020 with the Louisiana International Trade Summit that's going on.
Yes. So today we are hosting Louisiana International Trade Summit, which is an annual event focused on promoting global trade and international business in Louisiana. It serves really as a platform for industry leaders and trade experts. We host government officials and business executives come together, discuss and explore opportunities, challenges, and trends that are happening today in our space, and typically we aim to support the exporters and importers of Louisiana. We have an excellent run of show today. We expect about 100-150 attendees for the summit, and in attendance we are expecting ocean carriers, cargo owners, elected officials, value-added service providers, and really our local industry.
And are these, I guess these face-to-face communications, this is to you, Christy, are really important, right? I mean, there's all kinds of geopolitical issues going on around the world, and unfortunately, it has an impact on the shipping industry. It has an impact on the supply chain. A lot of times folks are rerouting things, and, you know, when you can put a face to a voice and you've had the opportunity to meet people, it seems to me things can move a little quicker and a lot more seamlessly. But maybe I'm wrong. Your thoughts?
No. I mean, I think you're exactly right, Noel. I mean, we as an industry, and that's why these events are so important, and especially the relationships we have within this industry, is you have to be mindful of changes from all sides. So, you know, globally, what does it look like geopolitically? You know, you have China, Taiwan, we have the Red Sea disruptions. You know, locally, when you bring it down, we have, you know, the labor unions and the waterfront employers in negotiations right now. Those broke down. We have, you know, a change in administration. So how is that going to affect tariffs, which then ultimately affects trade? So these events here allow us to sort of coalesce as a community with a very group of people, everything from ports and terminal operators and all members of the supply chain, to get together and really focus on how do we continue to move trade forward, move the economy forward, and make sure, you know, we're all successful and not becoming too isolationist, which is detrimental to the supply chain and to the economy.
And not only do you have these geopolitical disruptions, but you also have the desire of shipping companies to be more technologically advanced, a lot more efficient, move more goods in a shorter period of time. And I would guess that the relationship with the port, and this is to you, Amanda, the port as well, you have to be nimble to be able to respond to those demands.
We do. And you know, we want to use the highest and best technology of today's, you know, global landscape that really pushes us forward, you know, in comparison on the U.S. versus the global footprint. In the U.S., we are lagging behind, but you know, we have these great relationships in our space, and kind of finding that balance between the technology that is available for driving efficiencies and attracting new workforce. The younger generations of workforce are definitely very technology focused, as we know, and so balancing that along with the need for continuing to support families and with jobs is a delicate balance.
So you guys at the port, y'all have a new chairman of the Port of New Orleans, Michael Thomas. I know him well. And you also have a new CEO coming in. So major change in the governance and leadership at the port.
There is major changes. We are certainly excited about both Michael and Beth Branch's leadership, upcoming leadership. Beth will begin her role December 1st, and we're really excited to begin this new chapter along with Michael. Also, you know, Ronald Wendell has been the acting president and CEO and has really made some strategic moves, and we will continue as a team to work towards this initiative downriver, the Louisiana International Terminal. And so Ronald has been, you know, great asset in the point of driving that forward and having those conversations and negotiations. And I think that, you know, Michael and Beth's leadership will take that to the finish line. And so we're excited about the future. I think change is good. It's inevitable. We're evolving and we're growing. So exciting.
There's been a lot of. Yeah, absolutely. There's been one of the other challenges that looms out there, and one of y'all mentioned it just now. There's a lot of chatter about maybe the increase in the breadth and depth of tariffs. We've had tariffs that have been in place throughout the first Trump administration. President Biden came in, maintained most of those tariffs, if not all, and actually added tariffs to that number. So there were more tariffs under President Biden, I'm told, than there were under President Trump. How does that actually impact the port?
Well, we've seen... Go ahead, Christy.
Yeah, I would say from the industry side, tariffs have always been a tool historically. I mean, they're a tool, but they, you know, when tariffs unchecked will affect the flow of trade on both an import and export side. Because what happens is when you have tariffs placed here, then you get the retaliatory tariffs put in place overseas. And that's where things can get a little bit tricky for where, you know, we're trying to, you know, have fairness within that model. But sometimes, too, it's a two-way street. So if we put tariffs here, tariffs are then put onto our export goods, which then, you know, has the potential to affect our farmers or agricultural products. And so it's finding that delicate balance to make sure that we're not disrupting things too much, but making sure we are protecting things we need to protect.
Well, we come out of about 8 years of, you know, what's been characterized as a more than normal tariffs in place, right? And it seems as though shipping has been on the increase, has it not?
It is. So for the last few years, it was, and it was interesting too, because I remember when Biden came into 2020, some people in the industry thought there would be a rollback on the Chinese tariffs that had been put in place by Trump. And they were set in, and as you mentioned, you know, had additional tariffs put into place as well. So we, you know, sort of monitor from administration to administration what is that going to look like. But clearly you've seen with the economy, it hasn't necessarily cooled the supply chain. But you also have seen a lot of those costs passed on to the consumer, and then sort of also seen that bump up in inflation because, you know, supply chain costs, tariffs, et cetera. So there is a correlation there that makes us a little cautious as we come into when we talk about even more tariffs.
So when we talk about trade balance, a lot of people don't really understand the ins and the outs of that. I'm sure you guys do. How closely do y'all pay attention to that kind of discussion that's had?
We follow the trade balance very closely, especially here in Louisiana. Noah, we have a very unique situation in Louisiana where our overall volumes are split by 70% exports and 30% imports, which creates some challenges for our port users. You know, the state has done a wonderful job at attracting foreign investment for manufacturing, given our natural asset of the Mississippi River. I think the challenge comes in is is balancing that trade with the inbound. So most of our inbound cargo is coming in break bulk ships, and most of our export cargo is going out in container ships. So you can imagine there's empty calls, and back hauls that are necessary on both sides, and really, and tariffs and depending on economic situations, some of that cargo flows between break bulk and containerized cargo. But we monitor it closely and yearly, and in New Orleans, the big focus is to really balance that to a 50-50 trade balance. That's the most important. And we do
and Amanda,
that by
I guess
attracting...
it's safe to...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
And we can do that by attracting distribution centers and new companies to bring in new jobs, transloading and third-party logistics companies.
It always diversifying, right, all along the way. But I guess we're not too terribly different than most ports around the world. They face these exact same challenges, right?
Of course. You have other ports that are heavily import heavy and not so many exports. So, yes, it's a challenge, really, for the ocean carriers, and it's a nature of the businesses surrounding. And some of those challenges are balanced by, bringing in cargo and serving other markets. For example, New Orleans, we can serve the Memphis market directly, Dallas, Kansas City, Chicago, and then we have a container on barge that, accesses Port Allen. And so really through multimodal connectivity, we're able to access inland markets and kind of act as a third artery for the country into the hinterlands.
That would kind
when
of
we
follow
think
that,
about,
I think everybody in this industry, from whether no matter where you participate in the supply chain, is you have to be very nimble, no matter what.
Yeah, and because usually that's what separates the winners and losers, right?
Exactly, the ability to change and grow and sort of evolve with the industry and evolve with the economy and evolve with the times. It's very much an ebb and flow in this industry for sure.
One of the reasons I bring this up, ladies, and I know you're probably thinking, where in the hell is Newell going with all of this, is to bring to the forefront the complexity of the port. The more I learn about the port, the more I realize and recognize the complex nature of it, the geopolitical side and the shipping and this and that, and actually product agricultural yields, very much places mm-hmm. Demand on more vessels. How do you accommodate that? I mean, we could probably go on here for another 3 hours talking about this, but I went down this path because I really want the listening audience to understand just how complex everything that you guys do down there. And it's not like you can sit back and just, keep your fingers crossed and hope you're lucky. Right.
Every day is a new day, and there are new challenges brought with every year, with every administration, with every commodity, and we really have to stay agile in a market that has ebbs and flows. And of course, we have our own challenges with the Crescent City Connection, and of course, while we're building a terminal downriver, that's going to allow us to kind of escape some of those volatilities of, the market and having some more schedule reliabilities. But, yeah, it's very complex. We monitor vessel schedules, capacity in the market, crop that's coming out of the hinterlands and Louisiana. We have also poultry that's moving by exports. We're monitoring the flows of regional cargo and how the weather in Brazil is affecting the schedule reliability in New Orleans. So it's very, very complex on a global scale. We have to stay ahead of that constantly. And so we always have eyes on multiple different factors that really trickle down in the supply chain and ultimately affect our exporters, Louisiana exporters and importers. And it's so important to stay ahead of that and offer those supply chain solutions to them. We have become more of a seamless supply chain solution for exporters and importers, given our Class 1 connectivity and then our container on barge. And it's important to stay ahead of some of those issues, but at the same time, be constantly stay informed. And Christy, how are you seeing that from the industry side?
I think that there's a saying in the industry that goes, if you've seen one port, you've seen one port. Meaning there's so each port has their own needs, the complexities, how they respond to different changes in the industry. And I think from our side, where we direct our customers' freight to depends on the strengths, the weaknesses of that port. So it's important, very important here for us in Louisiana to continue to make sure that we support our ports, we support infrastructure investment to make sure that, we're state-of-the-art, top-of-the-line, that, customers want their cargo to flow here. Customers then choose Louisiana to have their cargo flow through our ports. And that's where we really need to be proactive as an industry. But also, as you said earlier, Newell, is making sure we're educating the general public, our representatives up in Baton Rouge, to make sure that they're aware of the importance of the ports to the economy of the state of Louisiana.
Absolutely. And ladies, thank you so much for accommodating me as I meandered through all kinds of different topics with y'all today. I truly appreciate
it.
I think the listening audience does as well. Amanda Coates, Port NOLA Chief Commercial Officer, and Christy App, J.W. Allen & Company Board Member. Christy, thank you so much, both of y'all, for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Newell.
Thank you so much, Newell.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back, folks. I am joined by one of the hardest working individuals, part of an organization that likes to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to start, and then they expect their speakers to be there at 5:30 and ready to roll. And that would be the Dawn Busters Kiwanis Club. And every year they hold the annual turkey fry, also known as the world's largest turkey fry, and it'll take place on Wednesday, November the 27th. And here to tell us about it is Melvin Dussel. Melvin, welcome to the show.
Newell, how you doing, buddy? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing great, Melvin. Another year. This is how many years now?
This is the 26th year, I believe, Newell. We started with Fat City Kiwanis way back when with Julio Torres and Billy Crouch. I know you know those guys. And then they folded. They became members of Dawn Busters. So, this is 26 years.
26 years. How many turkeys we're frying this year?
1,052, Noel. It's the self-proclaimed world's largest turkey fry. Guinness wanted way too much money to give us a certificate. We don't need the certificate, So, But we're ready, man. We as of last night, we hit 600 sold already. And actually 606. Somebody I know bought some turkeys too,
Yeah.
You know who that person is, I'm sure.
I think I might know who that is.
Right.
But so let's talk about this. Same setup as last year, where the delivery and all of that occurs?
Yeah, we're going to be at the same place, 4440 Yale Street. That's the Sheet Metal Union building. It's a drive-through. You don't even have to get out your car if you don't want to. We start cooking at 1 o'clock in the morning, and we finish handing out the turkeys around 8 o'clock. So it's a long day, and we partner with the crew of Carrollton. They actually do the frying. We do everything else. It's something to see. Of course, you've seen it many times.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing like it in the world. Imagine an 18-wheeler full of turkeys. That's basically what it is.
So that's going to take place on
a lot of turkeys.
Absolutely. That's going to take place on Wednesday, November the 27th. Folks, this is how you do this, okay? You go to www.dawnbusters.org / world's largest turkey fry, or you just go to their website and you find it. You can place your order. And they will confirm all of that, and you will receive a note back from them as to your pickup time, right, Melvin?
Right.
And
yes.
You show up at the Sheet Workers Union Hall there, and I can tell you I've done this for years. I pull up, I'm in, I'm out. If I'm there 5 minutes, that would be a long time. And the only reason that is that I usually get out of the car and start talking to everybody I know, and people start yelling at me that I'm holding up the line, so I got to get out of the way.
So. Well, you know almost everybody in our club. You know, we have 190 members. I think you know them all on the first name basis.
So then I jump in the car to get out of the way before somebody, you know, gets crazy on me. So, but literally, it's less than a 5 minute process. It's so seamless. They're great gifts. You know, if you're going someplace, you're visiting someone, you come in with a turkey, they're easy to reheat, and I like eating them cold, quite frankly. You know, it's great, or you could just slice it up and heat the slices right in the microwave, because it's already cooked, and they're all,
you know,
exactly the
same.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What a lot of people are doing now, Newell's, they're buying two turkeys instead of one, and they're freezing one for Christmas.
Yeah,
because they thaw out easy, really easy to reheat, and because nobody, and we can't do it twice a year. It's backbreaking. You know, we have 150 volunteers there all day and night, including 100 Key Club kids, which we couldn't do this without them. Thank God for these young people, because we can't bend. You know, some of us are old. No, I'm not talking about you, but but it's labor intense. It's really labor intense, but. But the beauty is that the public should know that every penny that we earn from this event and every event that we do, 100% of that money goes back into the community in some form of one of our projects. So this is one of our big fundraisers, and, you know, we do Jazz Fest, and we have a golf tournament. We feed the homeless at Lantern Light every other Monday. We have the largest reading program in America. We've been doing this for 19 years. And all of this comes from the turkey fry, basically. So we really appreciate everything you've always helped us with over the years. And for the public, it's a combination of love, of fellow man. That's the reason we do the things we do, is to help people, especially children. But, if you've never seen a turkey fry, park your car and get out and just come look at it. We're not going to... We don't frown on that, you know, because we're going to try to get you to become a member of Dawn Busters, you know. you know I am, anyway. we're going to give you a turkey and try to get you to join our club. We're 190 men and women. We're the fifth largest Swanis club in the entire world now. In over 80 countries, 8,000 organizations, we're the fifth largest. And we do more service work than any Swanis club in the world.
And the most fun, too, for sure.
Got
a great
group
of folks.
Yeah, we have a good time.
So let me say this. The your sponsors, obviously, Dawn Busters and Keesler Federal Credit Union and Crew of Carrollton. I think you mentioned the Key Club with the kids that are out there, 100 strong, making a difference. Let me give this phone number as well, 504-867-8400. Or you can go to www.dawnbusters.org/world's largest turkey fry. Put your order in. You're not going to regret it. It is really easy. And we want to get each and every one of those turkeys sold. Every year we have Melvin on with us, and we move the needle. This listening audience has been great every year with Dawn Busters, and we appreciate that, because we know that it's going to go to a great cause. They have a lot of fun, but they are very serious about what they do and giving back to the community.
I'm in a truck right now. We're delivering bikes, 40 bikes, to 20 Jefferson Parish Public Schools as we speak for our reading
Unbelievable.
Program. So, and Newell, you're the best, buddy. You are the best. I can't wait for you to be a Dawn Buster, Newell.
I know. Look, I do this just so he has to stay in touch with me. Because he's always recruiting. And that way I know that I'll get a call 4 times a year at least from Melvin Dussel.
Yep, that's exactly right. Thank you, Newell. We love you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Melvin. Thank you, sir. Stay the course, and let me know if we move the needle. I get all excited when we do.
I definitely will.
I know our audience have been big participants in the past. 504-867-8400 or www.dawnbusters.org. You can order your fried turkeys. The price is $65. And they are 12 to 14 pounds pre-cooked weight. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us, folks. Well, the craziness continues to go on in our campuses across this country relative to the war in the Middle East. Most recently, at the University of Rochester campus in upstate New York, there were wanted posters that were posted around the campus depicting Jewish faculty. Totally anti-Semitic. The school's president told CNN that it would not be tolerated. They are off and running, involved in an investigation, and hopefully, unlike other universities, they don't put them on double secret probation and they kick them the hell out of school. And they brand them for what they are, so that they're not allowed to go to any other school. And then they can go figure out how to educate themselves as opposed to placing people's lives in danger in this fashion. And I guess they think it's cute. I'm not sure what they're thinking. That's part of the problem. There's not a whole lot of thinking going on by any of these folks that are involved in these silly acts on college campuses. You know, the vast majority of kids just want to go there. Young adults want to go there for the purpose that they're there, right? To educate themselves. They don't want to have all these distractions and side and freak shows that are going on by some of these folks that just want to create disruption, you know, deflection, become an impediment to an otherwise ordered and structured environment on a college campus. And we see more and more of this. I mean, it's off the rails with some of the professors as well that are being disciplined and have to be released because of what they're doing too. I don't know where this is going to end, right? It just keeps going and going and going as though they really believe that there's something that they're going to accomplish here locally. They continue to ask for divestiture. And so many other things that are really silly in the overall scheme of things and not getting them anywhere. And they're just going to ruin it. They obviously want to ruin their lives, so just give them the opportunity to do it. Just sanction these kids. Get them off your campuses. You know, tag them. Put them away. Get them out of there. That's what they want. They want to be a martyr. Make them a martyr. You know, give them exactly what they want. The more that you do that to, maybe at some point in time, somebody on these respective campuses are going to exercise some common sense and go about doing what they should be doing instead of creating disruption for everybody else, a sideshow, you know, where folks can't go about doing what they're there to do. Maybe there'll be a change of heart. Hold people, you know that nasty word, accountability. It's amazing. Nobody seems to want to do that. We just coddle these folks, and they continue to do more. You give them an inch, they take a foot. You give them a foot, you know, they take a yard. Until you step in and you actually do something about it. And, you know, it can't be that you give them a piece of space any longer for them to go and yell and scream and shake posters and do whatever else they want to do. No, it's got to be more intrusive. No, it's got to raise the level of danger it has to raise the level of incitement. It's got to be a shock and awe approach to this, something that's unique that no one else has tried on any other campus, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to call attention to ourselves and we get the ultimate click. And the more clicks we get, the more like we feel like we're gaining and we're having momentum is growing and people are coming to our side and they really believe in what we have to say and do. And I don't know what it is about universities that they don't understand all of that. They can still do that, just not on your campus. Go somewhere else and do that. You're not here any longer. Go somewhere else. You still have access to all those clicks and this and that and everything else. And if you want to engage in stupidity, do it out there, and hopefully local law enforcement will snatch you up in a short period of time and put you right where you need to be. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.